We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death seems final. It's the type of thing that happens to all of us. It happens to our loved ones. Death comes and seems to have the victory over them. And we as Christians grieve. And yet we are able to grieve in a way that is not like others. We grieve, but not as those who have no hope. It's proper to grieve. It's proper to shed tears. Our family has done so and will probably continue to do so from time to time. But our grief in Christ is different from the grief of those who do not share hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have nothing to cling to, nothing to look forward to, nothing to understand. Our hope comes where? As Paul says, from the victory that God gives us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a principle that we need to keep in mind here. God gives us victory in and through Jesus, His Son. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our victory is not based on our flesh and blood. We cannot inherit God's kingdom as we are by nature. As good a woman as Deb was, and I can testify she certainly was that, she knew that she could not face death apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And she knew that only in Christ could anyone face her own death and pass through that death to come to God acceptably. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Jesus told Nicodemus when he came to him that natural human birth is not enough to allow a person to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, he says to Nicodemus, you cannot even see the kingdom of God, much less enter it, unless God changes you. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so for you to see and to enter God's kingdom, you must be born again. You must be brought by the Holy Spirit into a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying much the same thing in this passage here that Jesus said. He says, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God by natural birth. Only spiritual rebirth can make you an heir of God's kingdom. And so he uses the term inheritance here. And it's a word that describes the fact that the kingdom of God is not earned. The kingdom of God is not won by your human work. The kingdom of God is given to you freely as a gift. It's given to those whom God calls in Christ. Christ is the heir of God, and we are joint heirs together with Him. This happens because our human nature is subject to corruption, to being perishable, as the ESV says, is subject to decay. The whole world and all of mankind suffers the effects of the fall into sin. And so you and I are subject to decay, and that's seen in the way that we grow older and our bodies grow weaker and we eventually die. Sooner or later, we will all face that. And creation is subject to decay as well because of man's sin. And so there has to be this change. And the Apostle Paul describes that as becoming imperishable. Only the imperishable, only the incorruptible can inherit God's kingdom. Only that which does not decay, only that which does not grow old, only that which does not fade away can inherit God's kingdom, and that happens by this spiritual rebirth, not by natural birth. There will be a change for all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the general rule is, as it says in Hebrews 9, it is appointed for men to die once, and then comes judgment. And so Paul says hear God must make a change in your life. He must make that change by His Spirit as He brings salvation to you by the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and and makes you able and willing and fit to enter God's kingdom. And then Paul says, but what about those folks that will be alive when Jesus returns? And he issues this statement about a mystery that he reveals, that not all men are destined to die, that all will be changed when Christ returns, will be made otherwise. That's what that word means. They become totally different from what they once were. The change is so radical that it will be the death of all sin and all corruption in those who are alive when Jesus comes back. Instead of they will be changed and glorified when Christ returns without passing through physical death. And it will be an instantaneous change. He uses the term twinkling of an eye. It's something that you only find here in Scripture. It means something that happens in a flash. It's so fast you can't describe it. And when that takes place is when Christ returns and the last trumpet sounds. It's the visible return of the Lord Jesus. He describes to the Thessalonian Christians for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry and with a command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Think about that. When Christ comes back, nobody's going to miss this. When Christ comes back, he's going to issue the command for the dead to rise. He stood before the tomb of Lazarus, who had been in the grave for 4 days. The tomb was not sealed in the way in which we seal tombs today. And as they approached the tomb, there were some who said, Lord, he stinketh. They knew he was dead. There was corruption. If you've ever smelled a dead body, you know what he's talking about. And it was obvious to the folks that approached the tomb of Lazarus, this man's dead. What can he do? And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus rose from the dead and walked forth alive. That command of Christ will be given when he returns from heaven. The archangel will cry aloud and there will be this loud trumpet call at the same time. Just why a trumpet? Well, in the Old Testament, they blew a trumpet for the people to assemble before God. And this trumpet call will be issued so that all people, living and dead, will assemble before the throne of God for final judgment. The dead will be raised and all will be changed. Those who were in the dust of death. You see, it doesn't matter what happens to your human body in this life. There's some people that are burned up in fire. There's some that drown in the sea. There's some that are placed into the ground and buried. All of us return to dust. But that dust will be brought back. And new resurrection bodies will come forth as we stand before Christ. We will all be changed. Those who are alive when Christ returns will be instantly glorified, and those who come forth from their tombs will stand alive before Christ. The body and soul will receive immortality. We share in God's kingdom in our body and soul. And so, Paul's talking about how can this happen? How can it be that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and yet we will stand before Christ in our bodies? And it's because there is this putting on of immortality. When all of that takes place, when Christ returns, when the resurrection occurs, when the dead are alive to stand before God in judgment, there is this final pronouncement. Death is swallowed up in victory. I'm telling the girls, it was a funny thing. Idioms are interesting in different languages. We say swallowed up. Literally in Greek, it says swallowed down. What do you do? You eat something, you swallow it down, right? So victory swallows down death. It's not left anymore. It's gone. The resurrection takes place. We receive glorified, resurrected bodies. Those who are alive receive the same thing in the change in their physical natures. And we all put on immortality, never to perish again. And so this final accomplishment that Paul indicates is that there is this victory over death that has finally come true. Death seems to swallow everyone up. Men can't prevent the hour of their death. Even the wisest man to ever live, Solomon, said, no man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. Only God does. We don't choose the time that we die. God chooses that. Sometimes we say, she died too early. No, she died in exactly God's time and in exactly God's way. That's the thing that we always need to remember. might not be my choice. I didn't want that. But it was God's choice, and therefore it is perfect. It is exactly what God wanted for Deb. It is exactly what God wants for each of us. Death seems to swallow up our loved ones, and death seems to swallow ourselves up. And yet, Paul says, death itself will be swallowed up in victory. And the victory comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory comes because Christ has defeated death upon the cross. The victory comes because He assured that defeat when He rose in triumph on the third day. Can you think of anything more depressing for the apostles as they stood at a distance and watched Christ die upon the cross? They saw that the hope that they had placed in this man seemed to vanish away. Here he is, he's dying, and then they see that his body is taken down and placed in the tomb. Not one of his friends expected him to rise. His enemies were worried that something like that might possibly happen, but his friends didn't think so. And so on the morning of his resurrection, the women go to anoint a dead body, only to discover the stone rolled away and the tomb empty, and angels saying, why are you looking for him? He's not here. He's risen. Victory has come in the Lord Jesus Christ over sin and over death. There's real victory now. Even though there is victory, the sting of death has been taken away. There's no sting for a Christian. The sting of death is sin, Paul says. Death has no other weapon to harm you or me than the sin that it uses to wound us. And the reason that sin affects us is because God is angry with sin. But in order to do away with that sin so that death cannot harm us, Christ has died and dealt with that sin. It can't hurt us anymore because Christ has won the victory over it. Christ has defeated that sting of sin. The power of sin is the law, he says. The law not only shows us our guilt, but it increases our guilt as we long for more and more sin. Paul talked about how he didn't know what it meant to covet until he read the Word of God, and the Word of God told him, you shall not covet. And he said the amazing thing that took place was immediately he wanted to covet things. I told folks in the church here that if you as parents tell your children don't put beans in your ears, they never would have thought of it until you told them don't do it. And then guess what? Those little sinners want to put beans in their ears. That's the way sin works. When we're told don't do this, it increases within us the desire to do that very thing. The law's good, but sin in us causes us to want to break the very things God says don't do. The power of sin is that it carries out the judgment of God against us. And so Christ has pulled out the stinger. It's like a bee with no stinger. It can't harm you at all. The sting was sin. Sin's been dealt with. Christ took the curse of God upon himself as he hung upon the cross. He bled and died in our place for our sin so that our sin would be done with forever. Not just in this life. He didn't just bring us back to ground zero. He didn't just bring us back to a neutral position. Christ has won the victory. And so what he has done is perfect and needs nothing added to it. Christ has accomplished all. He died upon the cross. He fulfilled the law. He did all that God required of sinners like you and me. We can't even begin to accomplish anything. Christ accomplished it all. And Christ bore our sin. And therefore, we have victory in Him. He destroyed sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He met the law's requirements. He endured the curse of God against sin and sinners. He appeased the wrath of Almighty God. And He obtained life for all who were chosen by God and united to Him by faith. The Bible says that we're all going to meet God. There's no escaping it. Every single person in this room will stand before God one day. There are some who will die apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you stand before God apart from Christ, you face nothing but judgment and condemnation and hell. But there are some who will fall asleep in Jesus, as Deb did. They will be taken to heaven in spirit, and they will be with the Lord now and forever. There are some who will be alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But all day, all men will one day stand before God. The question that I would ask you today is, are you personally ready to meet God today? If you were to die right now, I've never had anybody die in a funeral service, but it can happen. If you were to die right now, are you ready to meet God? If Christ were to come back right now, would you be ready to meet Him? Would you know the victory that Christ has won over the sting of sin and of death? Or do you only know defeat and despair? What you need to do, friend, if you're not a Christian today, is to put your life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. There is no other time. There's no saying, I'll think about it, I'll wait. There is no tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Put your life in the hands of the Lord Jesus right now, because there may never be another day for you.